All right, welcome back to another episode of the Justify Your Existence podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Farrell. It is August 14th as we're recording this, which means it's almost football season. We have been a little hit or miss with doing episodes over the summer. But with the season kicking off, we will be back to our regular weekly format. And today I am joined by my guy, CFB Numbers, aka Jason DeLoach. Jason, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you? I'm excited to kick off this season. We're so close to it, and I'm ready. I'm ready for some pads, some football. I'm excited for this.
I'm doing all right. For those who are unfamiliar with you, what all do you do?
Yeah, so you can primarily find my work on Twitter at CFB Numbers. I post graphs, tables, charts, whatever, just on mainly college football. And then I also work for Pro Football Focus or PFF. That is my day job. And I help broadcasters and broadcast crews sort of get ready for their matchups. So it's very, storylines, matchup heavy, and just kind of talking football. So, yeah, so you can mainly find my stuff on CFB Numbers at Twitter, but I also have a Substack. It's just College Football Analytics Newsletter, the worst name ever, but that's where you can find me for some longer form content.
Yeah, man. So basically what I want to talk to you about today is a sort of I'm just kind of curious what the numbers kind of say about the landscape of the SEC this year. And I just feel like you are a stronger man than I am because I just sort of refuse to do any kind of like preseason number stuff because I'm like, look, so much of college football is there's so much roster churn every year where I'm like, okay, most of this stuff like doesn't matter. Like I'm like I feel like I can't use any numbers from Ole Miss's defense, and I can't really use much from their offense either last year. Just because there's been so much change, it's just stuff like that where I'm like, I'm not even gonna bother. But you are a stronger man than I am, and will and have bothered to do this. So I'm just curious of where you think things are at right now.
Yeah, no, the SEC is going to be interesting. I did just go through some quarterback numbers and kind of created my own little point system for that. In terms of the SEC, I had Garrett Nussmeier number one, Lenora Sellers number two, with John Mateer number three. And you might be asking yourself, where's Arch Manning? Where's DJ Lagway? Where are these quarterbacks? I have them lower on the point rating system because the model I use, I made it so that experience matters, and more experience gives you more weight, and it gives you more, just it just matters more in the model. So guys like Arch Manning, I mean, I think he only had, I think it was 101 dropbacks last year, mainly against, lower competition, not, an entire season. Lagway still only a year in, and he didn't even start, the season. He's switching off of Graham Mertz. So I think SEC wise, we still have some quarterbacks who are, trying to identify, establish themselves and sort of take that next step forward and potentially become, elite quarterbacks. And if a guy like Arch Manning can do that, or DJ Lagway, or whoever, maybe even Ty Simpson at Alabama, we could see a pretty strong conference, and we could see somebody sort of rise up and take control of that conference.
Where do you sort of see State and Ole Miss fitting into all this?
Yeah, so obviously, Ole Miss is breaking in a new quarterback. Jackson Dart is in the NFL now. So now it's Austin Simmons' turn to, take control of this Lane Kiffin offense that has just been explosive since, forever. He's always had an explosive offense, so it will be interesting to see how Ole Miss sort of turns a new leaf with their quarterback position. I do think that Ole Miss has, one of the deepest pass catching groups in the nation. We'll see if Luke Haas can come back from his ankle injury, but even without him, there's plenty of pass catchers on this team. So Austin Simmons definitely has players to throw to. Mississippi State wise, I can't. I'm not as optimistic about Mississippi State. It's pretty big that they got Blake Shapen back, but they also got Fluff. I'm forgetting his last name, but Fluff from South Alabama. So hopefully that kind of helps out with their run game, which is a big part of both of these offenses since they're, same tree. So it'll be interesting. I think Ole Miss sort of, I think they kind of thought their year was last year, and it didn't really work out that way. So, it might be a little bit more of a not a rebuilding year, but like a retooling year. But I think they can still be competitive. And if Austin Simmons is the guy who, we want him to be, then Ole Miss could, they could threaten and they'll be in that playoff race.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at like a situation like Ole Miss, where it's we have this young, promising quarterback, but he's also like barely played. How do you sort of like analyze that?
It's tough. I mean, I don't think I had him. I think I might have had him in my quarterback ratings. He's going to be close to zero just because, we don't know that much about him. He only took 36 dropbacks last year, so it's very tough to figure out what kind of quarterback they are. Just those limited reps, we don't really see how they play on, those third and longs where, the expected dropback rate is pretty high. So it's tough to figure out sort of where he might land, but it is nice that he does have that, pass catching group around him and that offensive system around him that's been proven time and time again to be, explosive, efficient, one of the best in the FBS. So he has everything around him from all the reports I've seen. He seems like a very smart kid, so I think he can, catch on to things quickly. So I think, projection wise, I think you can, project him pretty high, but at the end of the day, we have to just kind of wait and see what he can do.
On the other hand, I know you're a Dolphins fan, so you gotta love a left-handed quarterback, so.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think I've seen like Austin Simmons Tua comparisons already. I don't know if I would go that far or even I don't think stylistically they're really that close, but hey, left-handed quarterbacks, I get to watch one every Sunday, so I'm used to that.
You're used to people saying, "Oh, I can't put my finger on, but he throws funny."
He's like, ah, he kind of throws a little weird. It is kind of interesting. Like, I know people have done it for Tua before, but like they'll flip the video and it looks like they're throwing right-handed, and it's just kind of funny how your brain looks at that and it's like, oh, that looks normal. Where you look at like a left-handed quarterback and you're like, ah, this is, a little weird.
Yeah, but just curious, like how far behind do you think State is from the rest of the SEC right now?
I feel like they're pretty far behind the eight ball. I think they're, I saw their win total was 3.5. It defensively, I don't know if they've really upgraded all that much. So I think defensively we're probably looking at another, worse than Power Five or bottom three in Power Five. So they feel pretty far behind. I think they need to catch lightning in a bottle. If Blake Shapen can stay healthy and play the entire year, if Fluff can, if his game can translate from South Alabama to Mississippi State and they can have that, effective run game, maybe we might see something, but it's tough. And then, I mean, even just looking at their schedule, I mean, week six at Texas A&M, then they get a bye, week eight at Florida, week nine versus Texas. It's just that middle of the season is tough. And they play Tennessee week five too. I mean, that's not going to be easy as well. So it just feels like they're behind, and I feel like they just need to get lucky, and maybe they can upset one of those teams in that middle of the season, but that's it's tough, man. It's tough at State.
Yeah, my thing with State and their strength of schedule, and I tell people this, is I'm like, look, Everybody's pretty much everybody's, there are a couple of weaker schedules out there, but mostly everybody's schedule in the SEC is pretty brutal. The one thing that makes states so much harder than everybody else is that they do not have the privilege of playing Mississippi State.
Yeah, exactly. It and yeah, like to your point, I mean it's tough to like rebuild in the SEC. I mean, we kind of see Florida going through that right now, with Billy Napier. Every year it's like top five strength of schedules and Florida's either number one or, in that top five. So yeah, it's tough to rebuild in the SEC. You kind of just have to get lucky and either find your elite quarterback or knock off one or two teams and then maybe use that as re recruiting momentum. But yeah, like you said, it's tough in the SEC.
Yeah, so the interesting thing with State, kind of looking back at the numbers last year, was I'm just looking through their stuff on GameOnPaper.com, which is for those who don't know, like the greatest college football stats website out there.
Easily,
Please
yes.
check it out. But again, limited snaps, but. And I think he got hurt in the, it was the SEC opener last year against Florida. But in that time, again, not necessarily the greatest opponents, but, Blake Shapen last year, had a 0.13 EPA per dropback, which is pretty decent. It's not, it's not going to be enough to put you in the like Heisman Trophy race, but like that is, I don't know, good enough to help you win games as long as your defense isn't a total dumpster fire. Good. And then when he got hurt and they had, Michael Van Buren Jr. the rest of the way, when you have a true freshman at quarterback, in the SEC, you're kind of resigned to like, ah, well, it's a rebuilding year. And then that quarterback transfers, but that's a whole different story. But with Van Buren 0.01 EPA per dropback, which is not great. All that to say, if, and this is a big if because Shapen just has not stayed healthy ever in his career outside of, I think, like 1 year. If he can stay healthy, I think that's just a big boost out there.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's been a very effective quarterback on play action passes, which, Lane Kiffin offense, Jeff Lebby offense, very play action oriented. So there may be avenues for him to, again, he has to stay healthy for the entire season. That's bare minimum. But there are avenues in this offense for him to, find his groove and start distributing passes and start, becoming an effective passer. And, quarterbacks are just so important in college football that if you have a guy like Shapen who can, if he can elevate his game and you could find some groove in those play action passes, then you may, that's how you exceed your win total, right? We talked about 3.5 Vegas win total. If you look at any team that's ever exceeded their win total, it's more than likely their quarterback, caught some sort of groove and increased his play. So if we see that with Shapen, then maybe we, catch a couple more wins and that might, lead to more momentum going into the offseason.
I don't know if we actually talked about Vegas win expectation, or at the very least, I don't think we talked about it much. But that's kind of the other thing is that I like to think about is like, well, I don't really look at any of the SEC games for State this year, and I'm like, oh, that looks extremely winnable. But outside of a handful, if you play enough games where you've got a 10% chance to win, you're expected to win one of them. You
Yeah.
know, if you line up, even I feel like giving State a 10% chance to win each of their SEC games this year is probably a bit conservative. I feel like you could probably be, if you're looking to like average the whole, you could probably be a little more optimistic than that. But I feel like the bare minimum is like 10%. Well, you play eight SEC games, so you'd be expected to win, 0.8 of them. So round up, you'd be expected to win one of them. And that to me, that's the big thing. It's like, well, you can't just go winless in conference play back-to-back years. That's Chad Morris territory, and you don't want to be in Chad Morris territory.
Yeah, that's when people start to panic and then firings happen and then you lose that continuity and or you might just start over. before I hopped on here, I actually went through Mississippi State's season, and I call it like napkin win totals, where I just go through each game and give them my odds to win. And then at the end, you add up all those odds and you get a projected win total. I don't have them favored in any SEC game as far as I'm looking. At Arkansas might be a chance for them to get, a pretty nice win, I think, on the road. I think that's a pretty solid win for them if they can do it. Against Ole Miss, I mean, Egg Bowl, you never know. Rivalry games, I just kind of went with that closeness aspect. I still only had them as a 37% chance to win against Ole Miss. So just running through it all, my projected wins for Mississippi State was 4.7 wins, which is higher than their 3.5. So maybe I am a little bit more optimistic, but it's tough. And then you get Arizona State early in the season and they'll add a conference. It's a tough schedule for State.
Yeah, I think the bare minimum this year is win your non-conference games other than Arizona State, and pray you pick up an SEC win along the way. But hey, again, that's kind of what I've been getting at is like between this year and last year, that's 16 SEC games. You should be able to win one. Like yes, game on a game by game basis, the odds aren't great, but at a certain point, you do have to actually like I don't know win a game. But
Even if it's like a week eight of Florida and DJ Lagway has struggled to stay healthy as of now, I mean, if that trend continues, you might have DJ Lagway out. I know you're in the swamp, but again, that's another chance that maybe you pick up a win. Those are the type of games like you kind of need to catch a break. Like you said, State has to, you have to win an SEC game at some point. So at this point, it might be they just need to catch a break somewhere.
yeah, and then one last note on State is that, like, just looking at the defensive numbers last year, nobody really needs to be reminded of just like how bad State's defense was. But I mean, when you're 131st in EPA per play, 134th in success rate, and just so bad against the pass in particular. Sorry, those were all, I was looking at the wrong column. Those numbers were all against the pass. Overall, they were 100. I don't know. I'm screwing all this up. They were 121st in defensive EPA per play total. Point is, it's not great, and also 124th in success rate. But if we're talking about like, okay, there's a lot of ground they need to make up. Well, even if you just get the defense up to like, I don't know, 75th in EPA per play this year, that would help a lot.
And defenses vary who you play on offense, and generating turnovers, there's always that luck aspect, like does a fumble bounce your way. So if they can kind of catch some of that good luck, they may be able to, like you said, if they can get to average or even below average, I mean, that might be just enough to complement the offense where you can steal one of those wins, like we were talking about.
Yeah, and then to me, one of the other big things is like turnovers. Sometimes you just need, it's not exactly the most like consistent way to do things. It's not the most reliable way to do things is to pray for turnovers. But if they can generate more of a pass rush this year and make opposing quarterbacks make more bad decisions, those are the type of things that can really shift a game in your favor is turnovers, whether it's getting a stop in the red zone and getting a pick or something, or recovering a fumble deep in opposing territory, right? Like just I don't know all the stuff that they just didn't do last year. But when we talk about overachieving, like win expectation, that's what I think of is like unsustainable stuff breaking your way. Which again, you can't really depend on it. But hey, if you pick up an extra couple turnovers here and there, that would not hurt.
I just looked it up last season. Mississippi State ranked 92nd in fumbles recovered percentage. So they recovered about 36% of their fumbles. So again, if that can just, some of that is just luck based. I mean, obviously the shape of a football is, it's not round, so it can bounce any sort of direction. So it stinks having to rely on luck, but if you can generate that, if you can take advantage of that good luck and you know, get some of those balls to bounce your way, that's, that could go a long way. They also ranked 109th in INT rate. A lot of that is, you know, defensive skill, but there is also luck involved. There's tipped passes, there's bad QB play, whatever. So if they can just kind of catch some of that luck, that might be able to turn the tides a little bit.
Yeah, you mentioned bad QB play, but unfortunately, every quarterback they played last year was like 2004 Vince Young or whatever. So, but yeah, so I'm going to shift over to Ole Miss here for a bit because we've talked enough about state. I just feel like they're starting over on so many assets, facets this year. To me, the, one of the big one. I mean, everyone wants to talk about quarterback. The big one is on defense with the pass rush because they had one of the best pass rushes in the country, if not the best. And then, like everybody graduated.
Yep, everyone's in the NFL, graduate, yeah.
So I was just curious if you had anything on that end.
Yeah, I mean they lost so much on defense that I think that is going to be a big question mark for Ole Miss. And you know, some of the teams they're playing, you know, LSU with Garrett Nussmeier, South Carolina with Lenore Sellers, DJ Lagway at Florida, assuming he's healthy by then. I mean, even Oklahoma's offense should do a complete 180 with Jon Mateer and Ben Arbuckle as their offensive coordinator. They're going to play some heavy hitter offenses, so they are going to have to figure out some sort of pass rush plan to replace some of these guys. So that's definitely going to be something to look at. They had one of the best defenses last year in the SEC. It's going to be tough for them to replace that, but if they can keep it above average, I think the offense should be solid enough, assuming Austin Simmons can play any sort of football. It should be a little bit, you know, they might drop a little bit, but you know, if they can just keep that defense above average, I think the offense can kind of carry the team, and you know, they should be okay. But it is. It's a lot of players to replace.
Yeah, that you mentioned Oklahoma. Oklahoma's offense is sort of the same as Mississippi State's defense, where it's just sitting there like, there's no way that you can be as bad as you were last year.
Yeah.
There's just no
It's like
chance.
Florida State. It's like Florida State's offense. I know this is SEC, but I'm a Florida State alum, so it cannot possibly be that bad, right?
I don't know, man. Your band-aid for that was Gus Malzahn and a quarterback Boston College didn't
Castellanos.
want
Oh my God,
it.
dude. Yeah. Oh yeah.
So good luck on that front.
Oh
Honestly,
man.
I keep getting like Gus Malzahn and like Hugh Freeze kind of like mentally mixed up because it just, I don't
I
know.
feel that, yeah.
Did you see that tweet the other day about Hugh Freeze's play calling?
Oh yeah, I think I did. Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's going on over there. It's very strange.
I mean, the vibes are always kind of weird at Auburn, I'm not gonna lie. So yeah, that's yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Also, as a Commanders fan, I have to say that losing Trey Amos in the secondary is going to be an irreplaceable loss. So,
Oh yeah. I mean, it's so many guys that left to the NFL. I mean, it's tough to replace that year in and year out. I mean, Alabama and Georgia can do it, but like, I mean, I guess we'll have this, well, Ohio State's going to have to kind of do it this year. It's tough, man. It's tough. So Ole Miss definitely has their work cut out for him defensively. I do think starting the season, Georgia State, Kentucky, Arkansas, and Tulane, I don't really expect any of them to be that effective on offense. I mean, maybe Arkansas if Kalen Green can take the next step. But Georgia State and Kentucky should be fine. And then Tulane has just lost so many offensive players that, they kind of get a good sort of, they get a good schedule to start the season before they end up taking on LSU on week five. So, they'll be able to work things out, move players around, and just kind of figure out where their groove is on defense and what their identity is before they get into that like bulk of the season.
Yeah, and that's not that I think that this will be a particularly great game, but I just think it's cool that they have put Wazzu on the schedule.
Oh, I know, right? What a mid like mid season out of conference against Washington State. That's awesome.
Because like I think that was what the Wake Forest game was supposed to be, because they played Wake Forest last year and then they canceled the second games. But it's cool that they went out and got Washington State instead of some poor FCS school or something. But that's what the game against the Citadel is for in November.
I mean, it's a tune-up game before you get Florida and then the Egg Bowl.
Yeah, it's a weird close to the year with the Citadel, which is basically a bye week, Florida at home, and then a bye week, and then the Egg Bowl. But that's certainly something.
It's always interesting those like late season FCS games, and you're like, you've already been through so much in the season, like all the ups and downs, and then you get that game and you're like, you know what's ahead of you. It's always an interesting time.
Well, it's also like because of who they're playing, in the Citadel, it's like we've gone through all these SEC teams and we have to go get ready to play the triple option.
Yeah, that's always tough. It's yeah.
There's a reason why Alabama was tied with the Citadel at halftime that one time.
It's tough. It catches you by surprise. It's an entirely different game plan. It's practices are different, and like scout team wise, you're not really running the triple when your offense is just nowhere near close to that. Like that's tough to prepare for. So I don't think Ole Miss is going to struggle with them by any means. But I guess we'll watch. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, and then I know we have talked about sort of Mississippi State's win expectations. Where do you see Ole Miss's?
Yeah, so Vegas I saw has them at 8.5 wins, with the over a little bit juiced, so you can say like 8.6 wins. I went through Ole Miss's schedule. I got them at 8.4 wins, so I am slightly below Vegas, not very much, but just slightly. First 4 weeks, like I said, I don't think that they will sort of struggle, and I think that it's a good start to the season for them, breaking in a new quarterback, new defensive players, finding that identity. Georgia, Oklahoma, and South Carolina, 8, 9, and 10. That's a pretty tough little gauntlet for them. Georgia's obviously Georgia. Oklahoma, like I said, I mean, you're going into Oklahoma. But offensively, I think they're just going to do a complete 180. So I do expect their offense to be, very good. And then South Carolina, Lenore Sellers is expected to take a step forward. If he does, then that gauntlet just gets even harder. If not, I mean, he's still a dynamic athlete. He's still very hard to take down, so that's always going to be a test. So if they can get through, I have them favored against South Carolina, but Oklahoma and Georgia, I do think that they, going on the road might pick up some losses. Back-to-back losses too. It's especially for Ole Miss, it might steamroll into something else. You've didn't really. You missed the mark last year. This season, if you get to those back-to-back losses, you might start, spiraling a little bit. So if they can kind of weather that storm mid-season, they may be able to beat the expectations and beat my expectations, but right now I think, you know, eight and five or 8-4, 9-3. I know Ole Miss is used to that, but I do think that's kind of where they land.
I know it's hard to feel bad for anybody going 8-4, 9-3.
Hey, we went 2-10 at Florida State, so I'll take a 9-3 right
I
now.
know. And then my Gators are fighting demons every year, seemingly.
Literally fighting, yeah, just to get to 6-6.
But it just seems like every year it's like, all right, cool. We have the 72 Dolphins, the 85 Bears. In the 2007 Patriots on the schedule. All right, let's just try to go six and six and make a bowl game.
Oh my God, it's such a gauntlet. But I will say, you know, if Ole Miss is sitting at 9-3, and maybe if they can pick up a win at Georgia or at Oklahoma, and they're sitting at 9-3, I mean, it would depend on the rest of the country, but you know, you might have a playoff case at 9-3 just with the schedule. Again, it would probably have to depend on what the rest of the country looks like, but if you're sitting at 9-3, you might be in that at-large conversation. You know, we'll see. So it's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I just don't. I just don't think Ole Miss has the schedule strength to pull that off this year. But
Yeah, I mean, it'd have
you
to
never
be
know.
a Oklahoma Georgia victory. I think if they lose both those games, I mean, a win over LSU would be nice, but at Georgia, at Oklahoma, if they can just get one of those, that would be the resume piece that you talk about on Twitter over and over again.
Especially at Georgia, if you win at Georgia, that's probably a free loss anywhere else on the schedule. So,
Yeah, that would be massive if they could pull that off.
but I don't know, is there anything else you want to touch on?
No, I mean, I think that's it. I think the SEC should be, I mean, it's going to be a fun race. I don't know if the SEC is necessarily, I feel like in the past, it's really just been sort of Alabama and Georgia and then whoever they face in the championship. But I don't know. I feel like it could be a little bit more open this year. I mean, we're going to have to see what Arch Manning can do for a full season. We're going to have to see what DJ Lagway can do for a full season. Austin Simmons as well at Ole Miss. There's so much. I feel like there's a lot of potential in this conference that, you know, we could see a quarterback take that next step and just sort of, you know, shoot off like a rocket, and then all of a sudden they are, you know, in charge of the SEC race or, you know, in the thick of it, could make the SEC championship game. So I think it'll be a fun conference. I don't think it'll be as top heavy as maybe it used to be, but I think it'll be a fun race. So I'm excited to tune in every week and watch some SEC football.
I will give you the space to plug anything you want here.
Yeah. So you can find me at CFB Numbers. I will post graphs during the season, and just sort of my commentary on that. And then for longer form, I do have a newsletter. It's just, I think the official name is CFP Numbers College Football Analytics Newsletter. Just type in College Football Analytics Newsletter and it should pop up. But that's kind of where I do longer form things. And during the season, I do like I do week recaps, looking forward to the next week and things like that. So yeah, you can kind of find me on there. I'll be posting away. And yeah, I'm excited for the season. I should have worn I have an SEC football shirt that my brother gave me because my brother went to UF. So he gifted me an SEC shirt. Should have wore that today. I'm just now realizing that.
Like, who was the actor with the, was it Rob Lowe with the NFL hat? Who was it?
Yeah, the NFL hat. I just have the SEC football, like, go conference, you know?
And just the absolute worst people. Gotta have principles.
You do. If I was a, I don't know, if I was a Georgia fan or something, I don't think I'd be rooting for anyone else in the conference. Like, I would just be by myself.
No, it's not worth trying to fight people on Twitter over what conference is the best. root for
Yeah.
a rival. But anyway, I'm gonna wrap us up here. You can follow me on Twitter at BFarrell727. You can find all of our Ole Miss and Mississippi State coverage at djournal.com. You can follow us on Twitter at djournalsports. Jason, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, man, of course. This is awesome. I love talking football with you.
And thanks for listening, everyone, and have a good one.